And welcome to another episode of G220 Radio. This is Ricky Gantz joined with Mike Miller, and we are G220 Radio, and we have a good show planned for you here tonight. We're going to be talking about Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles according to the scriptures? And so that's going to be our program tonight. This is episode number 334. Again, episode number 334. So we are moving along. If you tune in to G220 Radio here on the G220 Radio YouTube channel, we appreciate you watching us live here on YouTube. But again, you can follow us on Podbean, where you can catch all of our shows as well. You can listen to them in the audio format. And those also go out on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and any of the other podcast catchers that are out there. I think you should be able to find G220 Radio. Man, we've got, like I said, some really good programs coming up, as I mentioned last week. And so really looking forward to some of the shows that we've got on deck. And so, Mike, brother, how have you been now that you're out of school and you've got all that free time on your hands?
Yeah. Well, the kids are sick right now. My wife is not feeling as good. I was sick for graduation, so that was always kind of exciting with that. So we're just kind of working through it. I did start today. I mentioned something about doing something about Jehovah's Witnesses and a pamphlet to get. So I've started studying that today. I look either trying to do it live on Facebook, either Friday or Saturday. So that should be a fun time learning. We're answering the first question they have is, what is the good news? So we'll answer it.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be looking forward to seeing those. So again, you guys can tune in to the G220 Radio's Facebook page and follow along whenever Mike puts those videos up there addressing the errors of Jehovah's Witnesses. And so that should be interesting, going through their own teachings and doing that. I know it's really hard to have conversations with Jehovah's Witnesses. I've gone down to the convention for the last, 3 years, maybe 4 years, down in Cleveland to preach the gospel outside of the convention. And I think in that time, I've only had probably 2 Jehovah's Witnesses come up and talk to me. Most of the time, their leaders and the security people kind of filter them another way. They don't want them to come and talk to anybody. And so, and they won't take any literature or any gospel tracts from us. So, I mean, yeah, that should be an interesting program, interesting videos that you put out there for that.
So I just had one come to my door on Monday. They keep coming back. So they don't like to talk very much, but they keep coming back.
Yeah. All right. So tonight we have a guest on the program. His name is Jeremiah. He is a Hebrew Israelite from down in Cleveland. He's going to be sharing a little bit more about that here with you so you can get to know a little bit about our guest. And then our conversation tonight, as I said, is who are the Gentiles from the scriptures? That's what we're going to discuss and talk about here on the program tonight. So Jeremiah, go ahead and share with the listeners a little bit about yourself and a little bit of context about what the Hebrew Israelites believe on the Gentiles.
I want to start off again, all praises, honor, and glory to the Most High God, Yahweh Bahashem, Hamashah, Yahweh Shah. I'm a Hebrew Israelite with the camp I Am Israel, located here in Cleveland. We believe that the Blacks, Hispanics, Native American Indians are from Indian and Seminole Indian descent, are the Israelites according to the Bible, the biblical Israelites. When it comes to Gentiles, we believe the Gentiles who are receiving salvation are scattered Israelites or Israelites who lost their heritage, lost their customs, and started following the ways of the heathen. So therefore, they became Gentiles by following other idols. That's it.
All right. And obviously, those who are listening to G220 Radio, you know that we are Christians, that we are Reformed believers here on G220 Radio, holding to covenant theology. And we believe that Gentiles are non-Jews, that the Gentiles speaking of in scriptures are non-Jews. We believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, the second person of the Trinity. And that salvation is not by works. It is by faith in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. And the Bible says that all who come to Jesus Christ, all who believe upon his name shall be saved. Now, we do believe, being that we are Reformed, we do believe that not everyone will be saved, and that Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah, he is the anointed one, the Holy One, he is the Lamb of God that was slain, is God in the flesh, and he did not die for all people. He died for his elect. We would agree with the Hebrew Israelites in that stance. We would disagree over who those elect are. And we would also disagree, I believe, Jeremiah, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that they do not believe that Jesus is God in the flesh. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct. We don't believe Jesus is God in the flesh.
Yeah.
What we believe is basically, I guess, like what you would say, the Jehovah's Witnesses believe in that instance, that Jesus is the Son of God.
Right. And you also, as a Hebrew Israelite, deny the triune nature of God, the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, obviously denying Jesus Christ. You would then deny the second person of the Trinity, as well as then, you know, the Holy Spirit being God himself, and then the Father only being God. Correct.
We believe in the Holy Spirit. We also believe in Jesus, or who we know as, who we call Yahweh Shah. The other Israelites called by different names. Here I am Israel, we go by Yahweh Shah, and we also believe in Most High God, Yahweh. And we just don't believe them being one being. We believe that they are all on one accord, but not like just one being.
Yeah. All right, so Jeremiah, we had an interaction out on the streets maybe 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I'm not 100%. I know it was fairly recent. I know one Lord's Day, I went down after church to preach the gospel, and I was out there for an hour and a half or 2 hours. And as I was getting ready to pack it in, you came out there, and you was by yourself at first, and then a couple other guys came out with you, and we began to have a conversation. And then that's where we talked about coming on the program. And as I said to you then, and in email, depending upon how this goes tonight, that maybe we can have some more conversations about those things that are also important. As I mentioned, you know, the fact that we believe the scriptures teach Jesus Christ is God, and that's something you disagree with. We believe that's vitally important, as well as the gospel, how one is saved. We believe that is vitally important to the faith as well. And so, depending on how this goes, maybe we will be able to maybe have some more of those conversations down the line. We would love to continue the dialogue there. But tonight we chose to talk about the Gentiles. This was a topic that you believed was important to talk about tonight as well. And so we were going to talk about Gentiles. And so you believe, as you said in the beginning, that Gentiles are the dispersed. They are only Israel can be saved, correct? And Israel, meaning that when you say only Israel, you are meaning the actual descendants of Israel, national Israel, the nation of Israel, not foreigners, not Gentiles being non-Jews.
But I believe we believe that. Well, for starters, when you say non-Jews, after Solomon, the kingdom was split into two. You had the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom was the house of Judah, so those would be called Jews, which would be Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. So the Israelites from the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, those would be Jews. Israelites from the tribe of Ephraim, Naphtali, Gad, they would not be considered Jews. So when you say non-Jews, all Israel is not considered Jews. All 12 tribes are not considered Jews at all. That's only referring to three tribes. So we believe non-Israelites cannot obtain salvation. And if they can see the kingdom of heaven, but they have to be kingdom of heaven and be servants and handmaids to the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay. Mike, did you have a question or any thoughts there?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, I was trying to understand what was going on.
Okay. So. You can hear Jeremiah well, right?
Yeah, okay. I can.
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay. Yeah, I was looking at you there, Mike. I thought maybe you had a question. All right. So as we said, we believe that Jews are referring to Israel, the nation of Israel at times, most of the time. And then we also believe that Gentiles are grafted in. We see this in, I don't know where you want to go first. Mike, maybe you have something, but we can go to Galatians. You know, we can look at the fact where it speaks of there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, or female, not free male, female, but one in Christ.
Mm-hmm. For that, let's say there's neither Jew nor Greek. In that chapter, I would like to start at verse 13.
Okay.
Yeah, I can. Hold on, give me 1 second. Sorry about that.
All right, so for the sake of the listeners, we are...
Okay, yeah, verse 13, sorry about that.
No, that's okay.
Okay, yeah. We go to verse 13. It says, Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law. So we know that the people who was under the curse of the law, the Israelites, we see that in Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. It says, yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey the voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. So in Galatians 3 and 13, we know the curse that they're talking about was on the Israelites. So that's the context. Is Christ have redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, being made a curse for the Israelites? For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14, it says that the beginning of that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promises of the Spirit through faith. Now, that doesn't make sense, because if you keep it in context, it says that Christ, that so Israel has sinned. They was under the curse of the law. Jesus was made a curse for them so that the Gentiles can receive blessings. That doesn't make sense. So why would Jesus be made a curse for the Israelites so that the Gentiles receive salvation? It tells us in verse 23, Galatians 3 and 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. So in verse 14, when it says Spirit through faith, when it said that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith, verse 23 tells us, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Who was kept under the law? Again, Israel. So who received the promises of the Spirit through faith? Israel received the promises of the Spirit through faith. And we also know that because we go to Romans 9 and 4. Hold on, let me get real quick. Sorry for that.
No, that's okay.
Romans 9 and 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertain it? So let you know who, let me start verse 3. This is Paul speaking. For I could wish that myself were a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaining the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. So again, Galatians 3 and 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promises of the Spirit through faith. The promises they're speaking about is going to Israel, because Israel had the promises. And it says, verse 23, before faith came, we were kept under the law. So that's what the faith is for, the Israelites. Shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Again, who are the children of God? We know, go back to Romans 9. Romans 9 and verse 7. Let me know if I'm moving too fast.
No, go ahead.
Romans 9 and 7 says, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. So the children of God are the ones who have the promises, and we read in verse Romans 9 and 4 that the promises belong to the Israelites. So if you don't come from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, you are not a child of God. Now we go to verse 28. We know that they're talking about Israel. and out of nowhere, Greeks pop up. So again, that doesn't make sense. Why are they talking about calling them Greeks? Like I told you before, Jews are not all Israel. Jews are not all Israel. Jews are only the 12, the three tribes: Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. So somebody who's a Benjamite from Benjamin, they can say I'm a Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. You can say I'm a Jew from the tribe of Levi. I'm a Jew from the tribe of Judah. But if you're a Gad, if you're a Gadite, you cannot say I'm a Jew from the tribe of Gad. Use a scripture to prove that. This is Hosea 11 and 12. It says Ephraim. We know Ephraim is a northern kingdom tribe. That's the top tribe of the northern kingdom. Ephraim compasses me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. But Judah yet ruleth with God and is faithful with the saints. So Judah, meaning the Jews, the house of Judah, and the house of Israel, those are two different kingdoms. So again, when they say there's neither Jew nor Greek, those Greeks are northern kingdom Israelites because they were the ones who were cut off at first. And then eventually all, because they went into idolatry, and eventually all Israel went into idolatry. Now, why were they called Greeks? Because they were Hellenized. They were Hellenized. They were slaves under the Greeks. And we keep reading, and there is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Jesus Christ. If ye be children, then ye are Abraham's seed. And here's according to the promise. Again, the promises are for the Israelites. So Galatians 3 is speaking about Israel. So when they say they're neither Jew nor Greek, they're talking about there's neither no difference between the Jews who grew up in Judea, knowing that they're Jews, keeping the laws, and there's no difference between these Israelites who went to slavery and was Hellenized by the Greeks and started following the Greek customs. Now we're bringing them back into the fold, which means they probably was marrying Greeks, having baby with Greek women, so they probably look different, all types of things. There's no difference between y'all and them. And that's our understanding of that scripture.
Well, some of the things where we would definitely disagree here is when it talks about these promises. We go all the way back to Genesis 3:15, where the promise is given of the Messiah that would come, that would crush the head of the serpent, and his root, his heel would be bruised. It's Genesis 3:15, and this is a promise of the seed that would come of the woman. And then we see when he comes to Abraham and he blesses Abraham and says that he promises him this seed. Galatians talks about that. And it says here, because you went into verse 13 and 14, but verse 15 and 16 goes on. It says, brother, I speak.
Yeah, where are you at again?
Galatians 3, verses 15, starting in 15.
Okay.
It says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. So to Abraham and his seed, and you mentioned that to Israel, but it says to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not as to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Christ is this seed that this promise is in. And then when we go further down, and we can continue to read in the context here, and it says, in this I say that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promises of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. So it was never, ever by the law. It was always by the promise. It was always by faith in the Messiah to come. Those in the Old Testament, it's not two different gods and two different ways of salvation. It is one way. It has always been by grace through faith in the Messiah to come, and then in the Messiah looking back upon the one who was pierced, the one who is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, which is Christ. And then it says in verse 19, wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. And now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, very verily righteously, you can tell, Mike, I'm struggling reading the King James because I'm so used to reading the ESV. But I'm doing it, man. I'm trying. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So the promise of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster, as you read earlier, to bring us unto Christ. It was to show us our need for a Savior, because we couldn't keep the law. No one can keep the law.
Who couldn't keep the law though?
No one can keep the law. Right. Jews or Gentiles. But the law was, Gentiles meaning
right. But the law was never given to anyone else to keep. So I'm saying we couldn't keep the law. He's talking about Israel.
Right. But Romans also clears it up, the fact that even the Gentiles who don't have the law become a law unto themselves, because they do what the law has said, because God has written it upon the hearts of all people. So verse 24
continues. Hold on. We have to deal with that, because you will have to.
Well, let me finish.
Show me where Gentiles were given a law to keep.
Let me finish this thought.
Okay.
Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Man is justified by faith and faith only. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, because again, we're in Christ. Those who are in Christ have saving faith. It says, for ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This is where, we're going to do a show in a couple of weeks on dispensationalism. This is where the majority of most professing Christians in America today, and many of them are believers, they have a distinction between Israel and the church. And we as believers, as Reformed believers, believe that the church is Israel. It has always been the Israel of God, as was mentioned in I think it's Galatians there, where it's referring to the church being all those who by faith have put their faith and trust in Christ. That is Israel. So when we say in Romans 11, where it talks about all Israel will be saved, we say, absolutely. When the Bible says that Jesus will come and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins, we say, absolutely, he will. You mentioned Romans 9. Let's see, where did you go in Romans 9? Again, you went to verses
4 and 7.
Okay, 4 and 7. Okay, thank you. And you said, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants, and given of the law, and the service of God and the promises, who are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all God. That right there points out the fact that Jesus is God, the deity of God right there. It says, flesh, Christ came, who is over all God, blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel, neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time will I come. And then he goes into giving these distinctions. He goes into Isaac and then Jacob and Esau, saying that, you know, Jacob I have loved, Esau I hated. We agree with those. We don't have a problem with what the scriptures are saying there. We do believe that God hates evildoers, and the scriptures testify to that. He hates the hands of all those that shed innocent blood, and lying lips and so forth are abominations unto the Lord. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion. Verse 15, I will have compassion upon whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say to me, unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who has resisted the will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him who formed it? Why hast thou made me this way? Hath not the potter over power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction, and he that he might make known the riches of his glory and the vessels of mercy, which he had before afore prepared unto glory. And then he says, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews all only, but also of the Gentiles. And so, again, we would disagree on this Gentiles, because it's the seed pointing to Christ, and those who by faith have put their faith in Jesus Christ are then children of Abraham, children of the promise.
Right, but like we can touch on that, but I just want to let him know that when it comes to Galatians 3, you haven't told me or proved to me that the Gentiles, meaning the other nation outside of Israel, had to keep the law. But when it comes to Romans 9 and 24, I think that's what you was reading. Romans. Was that right? Romans 9 and 24?
Yeah.
Okay. So when we go to Romans 9 and 24, it says, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in OC. Who is OC? That's Hosea. So he's quoting Hosea. It says, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which is not my beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. So Paul here is quoting Hosea.
Quoting
Hosea, right, Hosea in the first chapter. So let's see what the original was originally said, because he said there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Now we go to Hosea 1 and 10.
Let me ask you a question then on this. Mm-hmm. If Israelites, regardless if they are spread out in other nations,
or if they follow idolatry,
or following idolatry, also the
Gentiles, right?
They're still God's people,
right? They're still Israel.
Exactly. And so you can't be God's people but not my people. He's not speaking.
We don't see.
He's not speaking.
We don't have the scripture speak.
Sure, but he's not speaking of these individuals as, these are my people, Israelites, who are not my people. Mm-hmm. They would still be Israelites. If your claim is that Israel is these are God's people, and they are the only ones that would be saved, then when he says they are not my people, then that just, you know, logically there implies that it's not referring to Israelites.
Well, this is the thing. That's why we got to go into the history, because at first, like I said, the northern kingdom went off into idolatry first, and then the southern kingdom, the Jews, they followed after. So when the northern kingdom went off into the idolatry, the Most High God had cut them off. So when he cuts them off, if God is only dealing with us two on his throne, and then you two get cut off, then now I'm the only one that's dealing with it. I mean, y'all are doing whatever y'all want to do. Y'all are following the laws of God. Y'all are mingling among the nations. Y'all not keeping the covenant. So now he's not bringing back. When he say bring out Gentiles, y'all are living as Gentiles. Y'all are confessing yourself as Gentiles, right? And now y'all are following the ways of the nations. So he said, we're bringing these Gentiles back. I'm not going to look at you. Like I said, y'all two was cut off. I'm not looking at you like you're chosen people anymore. I'm just a chosen man. Why do I keep looking at you like them when you following the ways of the heathens? So I'm calling you a Gentile as well. So when God said, now we're bringing the Gentiles in, that means he's bringing you two back in. Not he's bringing everyone in. And I'm going to show you that in Hosea 1. It's just like the Jewish people today. Jewish people, they say they're from the tribe of Judah. So I think some of them say they're from Levi. But what are the other tribes? They don't mean that there's not other Israelites out there. They just mean, what? We don't know who they are. Meaning what? Those other Israelites, they don't know that they're Israelites either. Right? So that means they're not following the way they're Jewish. They didn't celebrate Hanukkah. You know what I'm saying? They're celebrating Christmas probably or something like that. They're Gentiles. So again, Hosea 1 and 10. It says, Yet the number of the children of Israel should be at the sand of the sea. Let me read Romans 9:24 again, just for edification. Romans 9:24. even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. As he saith also in OC, I will call them my people, which are not my people, and their beloved, which were not my beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there you should be called the children of the living God. Now, Hosea 1 and 10 says, yet the number of the children of Israel should be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in that place where it was said unto them, unto the children of Israel, ye are not my people, there it should be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. So Israel was called not my people. And now it says it shall come to pass, and it will happen in the future. Hence, Romans 9, they will be called my people. Verse 11, then shall the children of Judah, the children of Judah, and the children of Israel be gathered together. Again, letting you know that all Israel are not referred to as Jews. That's only the house of Judah. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appointed themselves one head. That's what Christ came to do, bring Israel and Judah back together. And it shall be one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. So when it says Jew nor Gentile, Paul is quoting Hosea, which Hosea is referring to all Israel, but Paul is now calling them Gentiles because, like I said, Hosea 1 and 10, they were cut off. The northern kingdom was cut off. And you know the northern kingdom was cut off because I think it's early in that chapter that you know it's talking about the northern kingdom.
Yeah, well, I get that. But as I was saying in Romans 9 there, what Paul is doing is he is using that and applying that same passage in Hosea as he is speaking of the Gentiles. You mentioned earlier about the fact when I brought up written upon our hearts. And if you go to Romans chapter 2, give you a minute to get there. So Romans chapter 2. And it speaks of, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you come down to verse 9 here, and he goes and he says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. It says, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God. In verse 12, for as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Verse 14, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Verse 15, which showed the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else excusing one another. And so that's where the scriptures are saying there that even though the Gentiles, the non-Jews who are pagans in another land, they don't have the law, they do the things that are by nature the law because it's been written upon their hearts, and they show the law written on their hearts. That's what I was referencing earlier.
Okay. So again, okay. Okay. So let's go to, Galatians, what is this, 2? Galatians 2 and 7.
Galatians 2 and 7?
Right. It says, but... Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision, was unto Peter. So Paul's job was to go unto the uncircumcision, just like Peter's job was to go to the circumcision. For he that wrought effectively in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. Now, circumcision means that they had the law. uncircumcision with people who didn't have the law, meaning they were not following the law. That's why they're uncircumcised. This is talking about Israel. Hold on, let me show you. We know that because Romans 2:25, it said, "For the circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision made uncircumcision." So you're uncircumcised because you're breaking the law. That's uncircumcision. Now, verse 9.
Well, everyone breaks the law. No one can keep the law, though, Jeremiah. Like,
right. No one can keep the law perfectly. We understand that, but
right. Wouldn't that then logically then say that then?
Well, this is about at this time there were Jews who were keeping the law, or who was at least aware of the law, or trying to keep the law to their best ability. They were circumcised. Anybody can get circumcised. So people who are not getting circumcised, they're uncircumcised. Why? They're not keeping the law. They're not getting circumcised. They don't know about the law. They're ignorant to the law. Now, verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John was seen to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So Paul again is saying that we're going to go to the heathen and the circumcision. So I'm trying to show you that the law was only for Israel. Now, why is Paul calling them? He's calling the Israelites heathens. And we know that because of let me just get it. This Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 31. Am I right? Okay. Oh yeah. Okay. For when ye offer your gift, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel, meaning the northern kingdom? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. And that which committeth into your mind shall not be at all. That ye say, we will be as the heathen, as the families of the countries, to serve wood and stone. So there are heathens. Why? Because the northern kingdom, the house of Israel, was following the customs of the families of the earth, following the customs of the heathens with idolatry. They worship wood and stone. Also going to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37, verse 16. It says, "Moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then taketh another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand." John verse 21. It says, "And say unto them, thus said the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be go, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land." So again, he's calling them heathens. The people that got to keep the law, we refer to as Gentiles or heathens. They're heathen because they had to be taken from among the heathens, because the Israelites were scattered through among the heathens, and it was following the ways of the heathens. So therefore, you became a heathen. I have one more just to bring you home.
Well, I understand that, he refers to those, he says many times to Israel, don't be like the pagans, don't be like the heathen. And then right. If he's gathering them from the heathen,
you become a heathen when you do that.
Well, sure. We're all in a sense, because we're all sinners. What's specifically being referenced there, what you're saying is these were Jews, these were Israelites who were going the way of the heathen, or going the way of pagan worship.
And that's who had to keep the law mentioned,
but he doesn't call them Gentile. He calls them heathen. He calls them don't do like the pagans. They're still Israelites, but he tells them don't be like the pagans.
A heathen and a Gentile is, in a sense, heathens are other nations. Gentiles are other nations. What you believe Gentiles are other nations. and heathens are also of the nations. We say don't be as the heathens. He's also saying don't be as the Gentiles. That's no different. And he's, and you become a heathen, or an Israelite becomes a heathen or a Gentile by following other gods or idolatry or being dispersed, or you become a stranger when you're outside of Israel. You're dispersed.
Well, you become a pagan. I would say you become a pagan. Like I'm Irish. If I started to, you know, let's say, for example, Irish worship a certain God, and if I was to go away from that God and start worshiping a false God, I'd still be Irish. I would just be pagan, or I would be a heathen, as you said, you know, but I would still be Irish. So heathens
are not just, so in the Bible, heathens are not referred to as other nations?
Well, I'd have to look that up. I don't know. Mike, do you know that off the top of your head?
What, heathens? I mean, heathens are just non-Jews, typically.
Right. Other
it's
nations.
Always been. Yeah, which means they would be, so using Israelite, not just in the northern kingdom, but that they are sons of Israel, that is Jacob. So that would include all 12 tribes. Now, you make that distinction that there are, the Israelites is the northern kingdom, as we would know, is the northern kingdom.
No, that's not true. That's not true. Let me clarify it. Israelites are all 12 tribes, but there's three tribes that also can also refer to as Jews. So you have the house of Judah, you have the house of Israel. So like I said before, we believe that Blacks, Hispanics, Native American Indians are the true Israelites. So a so-called Negro, as myself, I can say I'm an Israelite, and also say I'm a Jew from the tribe of wherever tribe I claim. Now, a so-called Hispanic or Native American Indian, he would not be considered a Jew. He's just an Israelite. So all 12 tribes are Israelites, and then there's also three tribes being Judah, Benjamin, Levi, which are also referred to as Jews. That's what it is.
But so, I mean, that seems like, at least from my initial response. Now, as I said before the show, I'm not, you know, in this. I think, and maybe with it is. Distinction is that to be from Judah is to be a child of Israel. Which you would deny that. Or no, you say that would be the same.
No. Just because you're from the nation of Israel do not mean you're Judah.
Okay. But if you're from
Judah is one tribe.
But if you're from Judah, you're also a child of Israel.
Right, because Judah is a tribe in the nation of Israel.
Okay.
There's 12 tribes. Any of those tribes are Israelites, but also Judah, Benjamin, Levi can also be referred to as Jews. It's just like African Americans can also be referred to as Blacks. I also can be referred to as Negroes or colored. So, okay. Right, so Judah, Benjamin, Levi can also be referred to as Jews. But the rest of the other tribes cannot be referred to as Jews. They're not from the house of Judah. Judas is just short for Judah.
Yeah. Okay. So then when we go back to Ezekiel 37, and I'm going to look specifically at verse 21, which you read. Mm-hmm. You said when God says, "Behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathens," you are saying that the children of Israel are all 12 tribes or just the three tribes?
All 12 tribes. All 12 tribes.
Okay. Yeah. And that you also are saying then the heathen there is the
everybody outside those 12 tribes.
Outside of every one of those 12 tribes.
Right. But a Gentile, an Israelite becomes a heathen or a Gentile or a stranger when they're scattered or when they're scattered and following the ways of the other nations. When you follow the nations, then you're with the nations. And that's what I was about to bring out in Ezekiel 14:5.
Okay. Well, I'm trying to stay here.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Okay. And so when you get down to I'm trying to think through my question here. So they'll bring them into the land. Verse 22, I'll make them one nation in the land upon the mountains. One king shall them. There should be number two. Okay, two kingdoms. So I guess when you were talking about this, and I think this is helpful, what you made it sound like, and kind of what I was trying to get clarification on, is that you equated the children of Israel with the heathen. But you do see there's a, that the children of Israel that are coming out, the 12 tribes that are coming out, are just coming out from the pagan nations.
Right.
Correct? That's how you're understanding that. Okay.
Right. They're coming out from among the heathen, but they are also, they're being called the Israelites in Galatians, in the Roger Red, in Galatians, in the second chapter. They were referred to as heathen. Israelites were referred to as heathen because they were following the heathens and they were worshiping other gods.
Okay. So in Galatians, this idea of Gentiles, you're equating to not just referring to the pagan nations, but to the Israelites that have gone the way of the nations.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to read this and then y'all can have it. Okay, so this is Ezekiel 14:5. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Again, so you become a stranger. You become strange to God. You become a stranger, a Gentile heathen, through your idol, through idol worship. That's how you become a stranger, because you're not following God. And like I told you in Hosea, the northern kingdom, house of Israel, was cut off. So Jew nor Gentile, Jew nor heathen, Jew nor Greek, those are all northern kingdom. For the most part, they're northern kingdom Israelites. And the Jews are the Jews, Judah ben Levi, who grew up knowing they were Jews, trying to keep the law, which they wasn't successful at it, but at least they knew who they were. So the Israelites were cut off from their heritage and identity.
When you mention Jews being just those three tribes, correct? Three mm-hmm. tribes.
Right.
Is Jesus the king of the Jews only, or is he king of Israel?
Jesus first came to the Jews and to the Gentiles, and all the tribes.
I'm sorry. Hold on a second. I'm getting some okay. Jeremiah, try it again. There was some feedback sound. I didn't.
Oh, I was Jesus came for at first for the Jews, but then he came. You know, then he eventually brought in all 12 tribes.
Yeah, so my question is he king of the Jews only, or is he king of Israel?
He's king of all Israel. He's king of the Jews, and he's also king of Israel.
Okay, because the scriptures, you know, they obviously when he's being crucified and the charges he you know, right. thrown up on him that he's king of the Jews. Let's see. When we come down, where was I at? Now, is the Passover, when we read in John 2:13, it says, and the Passover of the Jews was at hand. Is it only for the Jews, or is that for Israel?
Passover is only for Israel. That's only crazy. I'm thinking about scripture because I was about to ask y'all that. I wanted to ask y'all that question, but go ahead.
Well, because the scripture says there in John 2:13, it says, "And the Passover of the Jews was at hand." And so I would disagree with you in the fact that Jews can refer to those maybe of the tribe of Judah because they're Jews as well, but it also can refer to others in Israel. Not necessarily only from the tribe of Judah or from one of those tribes. So we see that the, like I said, in the Passover, the Jews was at hand. Let me see here. Another passage that comes to mind, let me go here. I think it's John 7:35, I think. Let me ask you about this here. I think it's John 7:35. Yeah, John 7:35. All right, just let me know when you're there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so John 7:35 said, "Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go?" And Christ is talking about him, you know, going away where he's going to go. They can't come. And he says, "Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed?" And he mentions the dispersed. These are the people that we've been talking about that are dispersed in these different nations. He says, to the dispersed among the Gentiles. He doesn't call them Gentiles. He says, the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles. He's saying, look, is he going to go to the dispersed tribes that are dispersed out there, these Israelites that are out there among the Gentiles? And is he going to then teach the Gentiles? I mean, they're mocking Christ, you know? And so how do you read that passage there when it says among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? And it says the dispersed are among them. It doesn't call them Gentiles.
Right. So, let's read it again. It says, then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go? That he shall not find him. Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles? So the dispersed, will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? So why would he go to the Israelites who are among the Gentiles to teach the Gentiles? I'm going to the Israelites, but to teach the Gentiles? That doesn't make sense. He's calling the Israelites Gentiles. Will you go to the dispersed among the Gentiles? Because who would disperse? He's speaking to the Jews. He said this. Then said the Jews among themselves. So the Jews are speaking and saying what? Whither will he go? Will he go to the dispersed? Who are the dispersed? Again, the northern kingdom are the ones that got dispersed first. Now, we can further prove that. Can we go to Acts 11 and 19?
Hold on. Before you go to Acts. Okay. Let's sit here. Here's my question. Who are the Jews in verse 35?
The Jews are the Jews, the same Jews we've been talking about.
Okay. So this is where we maybe differ. I don't think he is talking about the Jews as a general class of people. That is the southern kingdom.
So who do you think are the Jews?
John often refers to the Jews as not this large group of the three tribes, but the religious leaders of the time, which is the characteristics of John. He would keep referring to the Jews as the religious leaders.
Okay, so he says, okay, go ahead.
So not only that, so the religious leaders are talking among themselves. It's not all of these three tribes, but the religious leaders. But then you talk about the dispersed among the Gentiles. Now, you're saying the Gentiles there refers to what would be the northern kingdom, the Israelites. Here's
for
my
most
problem.
Part, for the most part, I don't want to clear something you set up.
Okay.
For the most part, it's the northern kingdom, but there's also a Jews who lost identity as well. So for the most part, it's northern kingdom.
Okay. Here's my question. That word Gentile, as opposed to in Galatians, the word is ethnos. Okay. Here, it's Heleron, which is essentially Greek. So the King James translates it here as Gentiles. The word is really Greek. So dispersed among the Greeks and to teach the Greeks. So the Gentile here isn't just a northern kingdom. This is the dispersia, the northern kingdom among the Greeks.
Let me get to it. Sorry about that. Okay, so what did you say? Can you repeat yourself again?
So the dispersed among the Gentiles, if you were to read it in the original language, that is Greek. Now, you may disagree with that the original language here is Greek. But that word there, here translated Gentiles, but would be the Hellenist, the Greek-speaking people.
Exactly. Thank you. Exactly. That's what I've been trying to tell you. That's what I want to put up. I just put up. Helen. Hold on. Who was Hellenized? The Israelites was Hellenized. Hold on. The Israelites were, that's what we tried to show you in Galatians 3 and 28. Why is he calling them Greeks? Because they were Hellenized Jews. These were Hellenized Jews. That's when you go, because where is the Greek captivity at? In the book of Malachi, they're in the Persian Medes captivity. You go to the New Testament, and they're straight in Romans captivity. Where is the Greek captivity? Where are these Greeks come from? That's why I didn't want to go into it, because I don't know how y'all feel about it, but the Greek captivity is in the Apocrypha. But that's where they become Hellenized Jews. These Greeks are Israelites that became Hellenized. What does Hellenization mean? But these people are forced. Who was forced to speak Greek? Gentiles? No. Israelites was forced to speak Greek. Israelites was forced to speak Greek and to follow Greek customs and to become Greeks. Just like here in America, black people are forced to become Americans. That's the exact same thing. So here, we're talking Hellenized Jews or Hellenized Israelites. Greeks.
And Mike, I don't know if we disagree on this, Mike, but what do we see in scripture where it speaks of, you know, we see the Bible speaks in Gentiles. Talks about Gentiles. We see the Bible talks about Greek. And we see also the word Hellenist used being Greek speaking Jews. They are Greek speaking Jews, but there's a differentiation there when those words are used in the scripture. We have as I said, in dealing with that passage there in John 7:35, he's saying the Jews are murmuring among themselves saying, is he going to go unto the dispersed? He makes this distinction. Mm-hmm. This, you know, and I'm not like, I'm just reading this in English here. Okay. Apart from the Greek, I mean, I'm not a Greek scholar. All right. But apart from that, looking at that saying, we go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles. There's just reading that plainly. It's among the Gentiles, mm-hmm. not calling the dispersed right. Gentiles. And then he says, as many of the times as they do this in scripture, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they want to try to catch Jesus or they want to mock Jesus's teaching. And they say, will he teach the Gentiles? You know, this is them saying to him, is he going to go, where's he going to go that we're not going to be able to follow? And there's that distinction there being made. Is he going to go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and then teach the Gentiles? How do I read that?
Right. So let's stick to English. Now, how do I go to the dispersed, meaning the Israelites? So I go to the Israelites who are among the Gentiles to teach Gentiles. How do I go to Israelites? Why am I going to Israelites to teach Gentiles? He's calling those Israelites Gentiles. I'm not going to go to black people to teach white people. That don't make sense. I'm going to go to white people. He's saying, will he go to the dispersed, meaning the Israelites, among the Gentiles, the Israelites who are among the Gentiles, to teach the Gentiles, which is saying that makes sense. He's calling those Israelites Gentiles. Why? Because, again, they're the anointed kingdom. Why is he going there? Like I was going to go to in the book of Acts, he says, up to that point in Acts 11th chapter, it says that he spoke to the Jews first. So now they're wondering, why is he going to go to the northern kingdom? Because there's a difference between Jew and the rest of Israel. So he's speaking to the Jews. Over to the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, it's been just for the Jews. Now he's saying, but now he's going to who? Now he's going to the Gentiles. I mean, who? The Israelites, the other Israelites, the lost tribes who was Hellenized. Where do you see Greek captivity in the Bible? It goes straight from Persian Medes to Roman. It's a big gap. And that's where you have an apocrypha. Captivity. That's where they become Greeks.
Daniel speaks of the Babylonian captivity and the Medes and the Persians, right. And then the Greeks, and then the Romans, and then the final kingdom, which is set up by Christ. And so
exactly, he does speak on that.
Yeah, in Daniel.
I don't know if I want to get into it, but he does speak on that. But where does the Greek? Where do we see the Greek captivity? So he's speaking on Greek captivity that never happened.
No, we're not saying that.
We go straight to Persian.
No, you're
right. So where did it happen at?
So
in Apocrypha.
Okay. Do you think the Apocrypha is scripture?
Yes, but I don't want to speak on Apocrypha. I'm getting off subject. I don't want to speak too much on Apocrypha to prove if it's right or wrong. But when it says, you have to explain to me why is he going to the Israelites to preach to Gentiles. What are we going to Israelites for? That's who the dispersed is. Are we going to the dispersed among the Israelites? A dispersed amongst the Gentiles to speak to Gentiles, that doesn't make sense. If I want to speak to Gentiles, you go to Gentiles. I'm not going to go to Israelites to speak to Gentiles. He's calling Israelites Gentiles.
But so let's focus on that word dispersed. So you're saying that is kind of the description of just Gentiles the Israelites that are not Jews that are spread in the nations, right? That's scattered among
right.
them. Okay.
Right. But Jews, like I said, that's why I said it's mostly the Northern Kingdom, but there's also Jews that are part of that too, because some of the Jews were scattered. But for the most part, the Jews speak to the covenant, or they move where they work. But there's Jews and the Northern Kingdom that's part of that scattered, But for the most part, most of them are Northern Kingdom Israelites.
Okay. Well, here's a thing. I mean, you can take it or leave it. The word can just be scattered. Will you not just go, you know, to the scattered among the Gentiles? Right. But that it doesn't necessarily. Hold on. Let me finish my thought, please. It does not mean that necessarily equals here in John that he is going to certain people. He can just be going out into the Gentiles and among the Gentiles and living among them.
So are you saying that the scattered is not referring to Israelites?
I'm saying it doesn't have to be. Could it be?
You rather show me where... Come on now. Y'all playing semantics. Y'all know the scattered is talking about the Israelites. Y'all playing games.
It's not playing semantics. It's understanding that...
Show me where Gentiles are scattered.
Hold on. Can I finish my thought first?
Go ahead. Finish up your game.
What I'm saying is that words have multiple meanings.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Here, I don't think the Jews are using this idea of dispersed to mean a group of people outside, that they're just saying that he's just going to kind of go out into the Hellenized, that they're not looking at a particular group of people. That's not how, the text seems to say. They just
okay. Let's go since you want to go to the Greek. Let's go to the Greek. You go to disperse. It's strong. It's G1290.
I don't use strong. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, we go to. I went to the Greek. It says dispersion. That is the Israelites' residence in Gentile countries. Cut. That's cut. So this verse is literally talking about the Israelites in Gentile countries. Will he go to the Israelites that are among the Gentiles and speak to the Gentiles? That'll make sense. Come on, I'm talking about Gentiles.
So
that's not playing semantic. Like, be real.
Yeah.
You already knew that those were talking about the Israelites.
Hold on. So just the source I'm using. I'm using the Bauer Dengehonk's the BDAG is short. Let me get the name here. It's the Bauer Lexicon. Okay.
Okay.
And you have their word here, dinashras, and that you just have this idea of a state or condition of being scattered, or it can also mean a place in which the dispersed are found with it.
Okay.
But so then the question is, looking at this text, is how do the...
I think we should just move on because you clearly we're not going to agree that the dispersed are the Israelites. We all three know that dispersed is referring to Israelites. But y'all not going to let y'all pride do that. So let's just go to the next verse.
No,
because I'm going to keep saying dispersed is the Israelites.
Yeah, I can see dispersed being Israelites there. My thing there with John 7:35 is saying that the dispersed among the Gentiles is making that distinction. I know you don't see it the same way I do. We're running out of time quickly. So if you don't mind, you know, a little more time, maybe 10 minutes or so.
That's fine.
Okay. So, now only Israel can be saved, right?
Yes.
All right. And Israel comes from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, correct?
Correct.
Jacob being the one who has the 12 sons, he's the one who's given the name Israel. Correct?
Yes. Other nations will see the kingdom, but they will see it as servants and handmaids.
Okay.
But in terms of salvation, yes, for Israel.
So was Lot not saved?
Was who not saved?
Lot. Righteous Lot.
Lot.
Because he does not come from Abraham. He does not come from Jacob.
All right, let's go to it.
Hebrews 11, or where are you going to go? Genesis,
wherever you want.
I'm just wherever asking was go, Lot right? Because Hebrews talks about righteous Lot and goes through the Hall of Faith, and Lot was righteous in the sight of God, he was not an Israelite.
But how do you know that Lot was not an Israelite?
He wasn't born from the line of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. He was Abraham's nephew.
You say he was, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. I heard you say he's not from Jacob.
Yeah, he's not from Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. He is Abraham's nephew, the son of Abraham's brother. God told him in the beginning when he told him to leave his family, he told him to leave all. And he didn't. He took Lot with him. And then in Hebrews 11, it records Lot as being righteous.
Okay, but that's still, what that has to do with you being Abraham does not, you being Abraham's nephew does not necessarily mean that you're still part of, you're still with Abraham. You're still Abraham's. And that doesn't mean that he's Abraham's nephew, meaning what? That's not Israel, right?
Well, okay. So in fairness, I know I haven't interacted with you as much as some of the other Hebrew Israelites, and there may be some differences. I'm not sure. But you would say that it comes through the father line, right?
Yes.
So if Abraham is not Lot's father, then how could it come through that line? If it goes down from Abraham to Isaac to then Jacob, and then Jacob, his 12 sons, and then of those 12 sons, you have the 12 tribes of Israel, Joseph then having the two tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, the two half-tribes. So then you have that included. Now, Lot doesn't fall into that line.
Right, but the thing is that Israel was not established.
Well, God made the promise to Abraham that through his seed, the world would be blessed. Through his seed. And all individuals, past, present, and future, are only saved through the faith in the Messiah. Those in the past, Abraham, the Bible says, looked to see his day, and he saw it, Jesus said of Abraham. Because he wasn't, and even in what is it, Hebrews 11, he talks about it wasn't so much of a land promise that Abraham was looking for, but the world being blessed. He was going to inherit this blessing of numerous, help me out here, Mike, numerous descendants, and not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. And obviously we disagree on that. But even when you go back to Genesis 9, when we go into Noah, which is something I was trying to explain to you while we was out there on the streets, and it was just kind of a rush, and I had to go.
Okay.
But in Genesis 9.
Wait, which okay, Genesis 9.
Yeah, Genesis 9. Okay, he goes through and he curses Canaan. Okay, you know, you're familiar with the story, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so it goes through and he curses Canaan. I'm turning there myself. Because after that, Noah gets drunk, and then his son Ham comes in there and sees his nakedness and, you know, shames his father. And then he curses him. He doesn't curse Ham. He curses Canaan, his grandson or great-grandson or a couple generations removed, right? And it says, yes. Let's see.
What verse are you on to?
I'm going to verse 22. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. It says, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan. A servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. And he blessed, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. And then he says, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. He shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Okay? Mm-hmm. And Canaan shall be his servant. And so this passage here is referring to the fact that Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem under that blessing that comes through the line of Shem. They will be blessed as well. All those who, again, by faith have believed in Jesus Christ become children of the promise, or become children of Abraham because of the promise seed that was promised, which was in Christ. And then it goes through in chapter 10, and it talks about the isles of the Gentiles being the sons of Japheth. You know, that's one reference. But all Gentiles in the scripture, you know, I've got the, and again, it's mainly dealing with scripture because that's what we want to do here, right? I mean, I know you want to do that as well. We want to do the scriptures. But we're looking up definitions because we want to understand things. And I'm using here, this is the Smith Bible Dictionary, a really old one here. And it says Gentiles, Hebrew word, goyim, foreigners, not Jews.
What are you looking up?
I'm looking up Gentiles. I was looking up the definition of Gentiles from the Bible Dictionary. And it just says the Hebrew word is goyim, foreigners, not Jews. Greek is ethnos, people, Hellene, which we talked about, and Greeks. Any people not Hebrews and who do not worship Jehovah. So any people not Hebrews. And so that's why I think we have this disagreement here. But I'm saying here from Genesis that the sons of Japheth, the descendants of Japheth, will dwell under the tents of Shem. And then we see the seed that is promised is not the seeds, but the seed being Jesus Christ, and all those who have put their faith and trust in him will have eternal life. The distinction between Jews and Gentiles that's being made in scripture is not that they are dispersed Jews that are assimilated into these Gentile nations, because Paul goes to them, as you mentioned, Paul goes to them first and says, hey, I'm going to the dispersed first that are among them. They're rejecting me. And so I turn to the Gentiles. And the scriptures tell us that he does so to make them jealous. That God in Romans 11, right, Mike? Is it Romans 11?
Yeah.
Where he uses that to make them jealous, to cut them off. He's going to cut off these natural branches of this olive tree. He's going to cut these natural branches off, and he's going to graft in these people who are not his people, these Gentiles. And then he even says to them Gentiles, look, don't think that because I've grafted you in, that I won't cut you off and bring these Jews back in. Okay. And so that's where
that's also talking about Israel as well, though.
Well, that's where that's where we disagree, Jeremiah, because obviously we're seeing.
We can go through it.
Go through what? The jealousy? Romans 11?
Yeah, you're talking about the grafted in.
Okay.
Yeah, we believe, of course, that's talking about Israel.
All right, are you there?
Yes.
All right, go ahead and read.
What verse want to start with? Verse 11?
Well, if you want to go to verse 11, that's fine.
Okay. It says, I say then, have they stumbled? Sorry, my headphones.
No, that's
okay. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation come unto the Gentiles, or to provoke them to jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, hold on one second. Right, so that's referring to the book, in the book of Deuteronomy, it says, this is Deuteronomy 32:21.
Right.
It says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. Moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those who are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation.
Right. And see that right there in that scripture, mm-hmm. He says, I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. How many nations of Israel are there?
There's one nation.
So he's going to provoke them with a foolish nation, not Israel.
Right, but Israel.
He's not referring to Israel. That's why he's bringing in Jesse. Let me ask you this question, Jerry.
Let's keep. Okay, go ahead.
So I kind of lost my train of thought there. Go ahead, man. Wherever you was gonna go.
Okay, I was gonna keep reading. Now I'm gonna go back to this verse. I'm gonna keep reading. I'm gonna go back to prove that the foolish nation is Israel. Now, anyway, verse 12. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them that... Oh, sorry about that. But for any means I might provoke them to emulation them that which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? Now, who is he reconciling or reconciling? How can you be reconciled if you were never together in the first place?
Well, he's reconciling his people. He's reconciling his people back to God. I mean, I don't have a problem acknowledging that. But where it comes down to the difference again, Jeremiah, is the fact that we believe that God has chosen his people before the foundation of the world, those that are of national Israel, those Jews by descendant, uh-huh. but then also those who are not Jews by birth. And John, the Gospel of John says this, in John 1, chapter 1, where it starts off in the beginning. Well, I'll give you a minute there. John chapter 1.
Okay, go ahead. Well, I'm not adding, but I know exactly.
So John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, the Word being Christ, who is God in the flesh. But it says in verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Verse 13 says, right. which were born. So you're born of God, and it tells you, not of blood. This means it's not of your bloodline. This is not of your descendants. This is not of your coming from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says it's not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, meaning it's not by your works. It's not by what you are trying to do to earn or merit salvation. It doesn't come that way. And then it says, nor of the will of man. It's not of your own free will. It's not of a man choosing to come to God, because the Bible teaches us that we don't have free will in that sense, that we are spiritually dead and we cannot come to Christ unless God does a move in our heart, which John 3:3 says that unless a man is born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God, let alone enter it. And so it says it's not of the blood, it's not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but it's of God. It's of God who moves. And then, as I said, verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then the Bible says in John 3, as I said, the Spirit moves as he wills. And Jesus said, well, not Jesus, but it's quoted in John 3:3, that unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he will not enter the kingdom of God. And then he says that the flesh begets flesh, and the Spirit begets spirit. So it's a spiritual rebirth that has to happen in an individual, whether Jew or non-Jew.
I want to touch on that, but at first I don't want to move past Romans 11.
Sure.
If that's okay with y'all.
Sure.
So I do want to touch on reconciling, but since you agree with that, then we go back to the provoke them to jealousy. Now, like I read in Deuteronomy, of course, they were talking about Israel, but they're going to provoke them to jealousy, right? Israel is going to be the ones we provoke to jealousy. Now, we got they would call it a foolish nation. And, hold on. A foolish nation and not a people. I think that's what it said. Okay, so now we go to Romans 10, verse 19. I don't know if y'all want to
go there now. Romans 10, 19?
Yes, verse 19. We're going to read 19 through 20. It says, but I say, did not Israel know? For Moses saith, Moses in Deuteronomy, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are not, by them that are not, that are no people. Sorry, I'm sorry about that. Romans 10, 19. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you. But Esaias is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, I was made manifest unto them that are not after me. So who is he talking about in Romans 10? He's talking about Israel. How do we know that? Because we go to, because they were called not a people. In 1 Peter and 2 and 9, which we had a discussion downtown, you brought this out, talking about a bit of the kingdom. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Who is he talking about right there?
He's talking about the church.
Okay, so right there he's talking. Who's referred to as the peculiar people?
All those who are in Christ.
Okay, so Deuteronomy 14, verse 2. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the face of the earth. So he's talking about the Israelites. So who are the peculiar people? The Israelites are the peculiar people. We go back to 1 Peter 2 and 10. Now that we know he's talking about the Israelites, 1 Peter 2 and 10, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. So that's who God grafted in Romans 11. The Israelites, because the Israelites were called not a people. So he used Israelites, meaning he used those who were not a people, who were not called people. Again, like he said, Hosea 1 and 10, they would be called not my people. Like Hosea said, Israel was not a people. It's simple. Precept upon precept. Hold on, I got one more. We got Isaiah 7 and 8. Let me get to it. It says, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and with 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. So Ephraim here in Isaiah 7 and 8 is called not a people. Ephraim is the head tribe of the northern kingdom. So who was not a people? Ephraim was not a people. The northern kingdom. Just like Judah, the head tribe of the southern kingdom. It says, Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. So the northern kingdom became not a people. So he shall provoke them to jealousy, them with a foolish nation without a people. Israel is that foolish nation, clearly throughout the scriptures, because they kept going to idolatry, kept disobeying Most High God. And they're not a people. Israel became not a people because they were cut off. So when they say, I was Ephraim not a people, that means northern kingdom. So he's going to use them to jealousy.
Well, that's why I said we disagree when it comes to the views of Gentiles in the New Testament. As
what okay, is I have one being, question. I have one question.
What is being?
Just one quick question. Did you see that how Ephraim was called not a people and how Israel not a foolish nation?
Sure, we see a lot of things. We see a lot of types and shadows and a lot of types in the Old Testament, where we see in Hebrews that Christ is the fulfillment of these types, these sacrifices, and the temple and all this was a pointing to something greater. Jesus being a greater prophet than Moses, Jesus being a greater king than David and Solomon, Jesus being a greater than these things in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is filled with typology. It's filled with types that are pointing to something greater. Abraham wasn't just looking for a land in Israel, in the land of Israel, as this land to have as his promise. He was looking to a greater promise. He was looking to not only these descendants from Jacob, or Isaac and Jacob, but this descendants that the whole world would be blessed through him. Now, obviously, we're not saying that every single person in the world will be saved, because they won't. The people will go to hell. I don't know if that's a doctrine you deny or not, but people will go and be cast into the lake of fire. But it's all those who are not in Christ, because again, by faith, by grace through faith in Christ and Christ alone is salvation. And so, and then also, if you don't, we're not talking about this tonight, but I think it's vitally important. If you don't have a correct understanding of who Jesus Christ is, then it really is honestly irrelevant as far as who are the certain people or your descendant or your race. Because if you don't have the correct view of Jesus, he says, if you don't have, the Son, you don't have the Father. So you, if you don't have the correct view of who he is, which he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Revelation says that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. In Isaiah, I think it's 46, talks about God being the first and the last. And in Revelation, it talks about him being the living one, the one who died, yet he lives. And so Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And if we reject that, it really doesn't matter what our heritage is, because we're not right with the one true and living God. And so that is vitally important. And it's definitely something, I guess we could talk about at another time if you're interested in having that conversation on the deity of
Christ. Why are you talking about the Trinity?
Well, deity of Jesus Christ, him being God. We can touch on the Trinity as well in that. But it is about 10:30. We actually went over about 30 minutes. I enjoyed the conversation with you. I enjoyed looking at the scriptures, and hopefully that was edifying to the listeners. But we are definitely over time. So we're going to wrap that up for tonight. And so I hope, you know, the listeners, like I said, enjoyed the conversation. And Jeremiah, I appreciate you coming on the program, and I look forward to maybe, like I said, more conversations with you on other topics where we disagree in the scriptures.
Yeah, thank you for having me on.
All right, thanks for being on the program. Yeah, and that's been G220 Radio for tonight. Again, I hope you enjoyed the program. God bless.